Proverbs chapter 16, I want to read a verse of scripture here, and then I'd like to turn over and read a verse in chapter number 20. The Bible said in chapter 16 of Proverbs and verse number 31, "The hoary head is a crown of glory. If it be found," now there's an if in that verse, "if it be found in the way of righteousness." Isn't that good? Think about that. Now go over to chapter 20 and verse number 29. Chapter 20 and verse number 29. The Bible said, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." Years ago, I was talking to a man that had lost his hair, and he said something to me. He said, God didn't make but so many beautiful heads. And he said, the rest of them's got hair on them. Amen. Amen, Brother Greg. Amen. Pray with me a minute and we'll get started. Won't be before you long. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for your precious people. Help us tonight, Lord, to be able to say something, but be an encouragement to our seniors. Lord, they sure are a blessing to us. They've blazed a trail before us. And Lord, I pray that you will just help us, our Father, tonight to honor you in the service and to honor these, our Father, that in those latter years of their life are walking in the way of righteousness. I pray, dear Father, that you'd be magnified in the service. Thank you for what you're doing, our Lord. God, we just pray that you'll just continue to add to the church such as should be saved. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I read something a while ago I'd like to read in your hearing. I thought it was really good. It came out in the Daily Bread years ago. It said, "Old age can be a most rewarding period of life for those who have found the satisfaction of loving and a close relationship with their Heavenly Father through faith in His Son. The sunset years can be more appropriately labeled the golden years." Henry D'Urbervillehe felt that way in his book, The Best Is Yet to Be. He wrote, "I feel sorry for folks who don't like to grow old. I revel in my years. They enrich me. I would not exchange the abiding rest of soul, the measure of wisdom I have gained from the sweet and the bitter and perplexing experiences of life, nor," let's see here, well, I lost my place. It's hard to, "nor the confirmed faith that I now have in the love of God. For all the bright and uncertain hopes and tumultuous years and joys of youth, indeed I would not. These are the best years of my life. The way grows brighter. The birds sing sweeter. The wind blows softer. The sun shines more radiantly than ever before. I suppose my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is being joyously renewed day by day." Robertson McQuilkin wrote, "God planned the strength and beauty of youth to be physical, but the strength and beauty of age is spiritual. We gradually lose the strength and beauty that is temporary, so we can be sure to concentrate on the strength and beauty that is forever." Is that not awesome? An awesome way to think about it, amen? I want to look at this here tonight, talking about the gray head or the hoary head being a crown of glory. Just give you three things that stuck out in the chapter. The first thing I want you to see is the contrast. I want you to see the contrast between this individual that finishes up their way in the way of righteousness, finishes up their life, and others. I'll tell you, everybody that's old is not godly. There's some old people that are ungodly. Amen. Notice what the Bible said here. It said in verse 27, "An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. I'm glad that I'm in a place with the Lord that I'm not interested in digging up evil, aren't you? There's a contrast there. Amen. And the Bible said a froward man in verse 28 soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You see the contrast? And you know what we ought to do tonight, every one of us that have gray hair? We ought to thank God that we're not walking in this path, that God gave us a better path to walk in. Amen. And the Bible said in verse 29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. And then he said in verse 30, he shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. His lips he bringeth evil to pass. There's a great contrast between those that are walking in the way of the Lord, in that old path Jeremiah spoke about, and those that are walking in wickedness and walking in evil. And I want to just stop and say one thing tonight. I don't look down on people that have not changed paths, but I do want to stop and say this. It's the grace of God that I'm not walking in that path tonight. Amen. It's nothing good that I have done, but it's the Lord Jesus that lives in me. Amen. That changed my desires. Amen. And, you know, you think about, how do you want your children to remember Dad and Mom? How do you want your grandchildren to remember Papaw and Mamaw? I know tonight those that love the Lord, there's nothing could be said better of us than my Papaw loved Jesus, or my Daddy loved Jesus. My Daddy served the Lord. Amen. My Mama served the Lord. So there's a great contrast there. But then I look at I wrote down in the margin of my Bible the word control. This man, he's walking, he's got gray hair, but he's come to a place in his life where he's able to control himself. There's self-control because he's able to be brought under the control of the precious Holy Spirit of the living God. Look at verse number 32. The Bible said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. So God can help us. Amen. I don't know about you. Rock of Ages, I believe, Brother Matthew, they have a little booklet called Flying Off the Handle. And the prisoners need that. Amen. They most of them been raised that way. Most of them had a daddy, if they had a daddy at all, that flew off the handle, and a mom and a brother that flew off the handle. But I'm telling you, the older I get, the easier it is for me not to fly off the handle the way that I... appreciate the Lord helping us with that. There's that control. He controls his spirit in verse number 32. He ruleth his spirit. He is better than the mighty because he rules his spirit than he that taketh a city. And then if you look in verse number 24, there's something else that he controls, and that's his speech. Look at verse number 24. Well, let me read verse 23 as well. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Look at verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Amen. He's not only controlling, beloved, his spirit, but he's controlling his speech, those things that he says. Look at verse number 1. How many's ever let your speech get out of control besides me? Anybody like that? I did an illustration one time at Cedar View Christian School. I was still able to shoot a bow and arrow, and I took an archery target and put it up on the stage, and I stood back here. The kids were on the sides. There wasn't a lot of danger there unless the bow blew up. But anyway, I took an arrow, and I turned that arrow loose, and it went right in the bullseye just like it was supposed to. But this is what I told the youngins that day. I used to shoot tournament archery. And Brother James, you told me about the bowling today that was on. And a discussion came up on that bowling that sometimes those guys know just as soon as they turn that bowling ball loose, it's not a good shot. In other words, they don't have to wait on it to get down there. And I have known in tournament archery, just as soon as that, soon as it turned loose, I wish I could reach out there and get that arrow and pull it back and shoot it again. Sometimes it costs you the tournament. One arrow. It costs you and words are like that. When we shoot them out, amen, you can't grab them and bring them back. We can be forgiven and we can ask people to forgive us. But that, what the Bible's talking about, this hoary head right here, that man, he begins to control his spirit. He begins to control his speech. How many of you ladies that's been married a long time have noticed a difference in your husband as his hair got gray? You should say amen. Amen. You should. You should notice a difference in his spirit, a difference in his speech. Amen. And because we're supposed to mature. Amen. Sister Marie, what's going on back there? Amen. It looks pretty good, whatever it is. Amen. Oh, it is. Amen. All right. And then not only does he control his spirit and he controls his speech. Look at verse 13 with his speech. The Bible said, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of people I want to be around. Amen. Those that speak right. And so there's a contrast, but then we see the word control. And then there's something else that he controls, and that's his service. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 3 of chapter 16. The Bible said, commit thy works unto the Lord. Amen. And thy thoughts shall be established. I don't know about you, but I believe the older that I get, the more I understand and the more I realize that whatever we do, it needs to be committed unto him. Amen. If he don't add his blessings to it, it's not going to be blessed. Amen. But if he adds his blessings to it, it's going to be a blessing for sure. Now notice, we've looked at the control in this hoary head, and we've looked at the contrast between that man that walks in the way of righteousness and those who do not. That man or woman that walks in the way of righteousness and those who do not. But let's look now, finally, at the crown. The Bible said here, the hoary head is a crown of glory. You know, I'm being honest now. I never thought that my hair would be this gray. I never thought I would get to be this old, amen. But I want you to understand something. Every day that we live, we're closer to our crown. And I want to encourage you tonight. Did you see these babies up here singing tonight? They're important. Help me. Brother Larry, those of us that are approaching older than dirt, you're already there, but some of us are approaching it. Amen. It's important that we walk with God. They need us to walk with God. They need to hear words coming out of our mouth that are seasoned with salt and seasoned with grace. Amen. They need to see an example of walking in the way of righteousness. And the Bible said there will be a crown of glory. I don't know about you. It was exciting to me to learn that, you know, some of the songs, I love them, and some of them, I don't know, just... There's one, and if it's your favorite song, you forgive me. But I'll put on a crown and I'll march around all over God's promised land. Maybe that's the way it'll be. But I found in the Bible where the 24 elders laid their crowns at his feet. I don't know about you, but if it's a choice between wearing it and strutting like a peacock or laying at the feet of Jesus, I'll lay mine at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I want to holler, worthy is the Lamb. God, I'm not worthy of this. Amen. You're the only one that's worthy. And Lord, you're the one that helped me to walk in the path of righteousness. You know, and it's for his name's sake. Ain't that good? Amen. And then he said, there's going to be a time we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And he said, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because God's presence that was real in our life will be real in our death. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, my cup. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And then I love this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Brother Mays Jackson was preaching one time years ago in Marion, Virginia, and I heard him say this. He said, I have two angels that follow me everywhere I go. He said, one of them's name is Mercy, and the other one's name is Goodness. Amen. I don't know about you, but that thrills me tonight. Amen. Well, how many's glad you come this way tonight? Listen to me, young people. Connor, your hair's not gray yet. Where's Connor? Connor 1, your hair's not gray yet. Connor 2, your hair's not gray yet. Amen. But between the two of you, you're making mine grayer every day. Amen. Amen. I'm kidding these guys. Amen. Brother John, your hair's not gray yet. Look at that big dark beard on Brother Michael back there. Amen. He's trying to hide from somebody. It's not gray yet. But I promise you it will be one day. Amen. You need to pray for those that are already gray-headed, because we need your prayers. Amen. And those of us that are gray-headed, we need to be praying for the Matthews. Amen. We need to be praying for the Michaels. He has to live with Tanita. Amen. Amen. And, my. I think there's something in the Bible about not stirring up strife, ain't they? Amen. I appreciate you coming. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, tonight for my precious people that put up with me. Lord, thank you for their prayers. Thank you, God, for the grace that you've given us, Lord. Lord, it's a wicked world, getting darker by the day. Would you help us to be a light? Help us to let our light shine, Lord, that men might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, you'd bless our time of fellowship together. Thank you, Lord, for the choir that's practicing up to celebrate the country's birthday. Pray, Lord, that you will help us, our Father, in the days ahead. Lord, you said righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to return to the God of our fathers. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for the gray heads. Thank you for the beautiful heads. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.